Hello and welcome to the Worst of the Muppets Holiday Edition, presented by ToughPigs.com. We all know that the Muppets have made some of the greatest films, specials, and TV episodes in history, but everyone makes mistakes, even Kermit the Frog. In this podcast miniseries, we'll be taking a closer look at the worst holiday specials the Muppets have ever been a part of. If only these specials came with a gift receipt. This week, we'll be talking about a special Sesame Street Christmas in which the Sesame Street gang steals the plot of A Christmas Carol to guilt Oscar the Grouch into playing against his own nature. But before we get into this mess, let's meet our special guest. He's an actor, writer, director, and puppeteer who's appeared on Broadway in shows like Hamilton and Camelot. And now he's slumming it on a silly podcast about Muppets. Please welcome Fergie Philippe to the podcast. Hey, Fergie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks so much for joining me for this.
Always happy to be here with Tough Pigs.
Wonderful. And I must apologize for making you watch this special in preparation. So sorry.
No, it's okay. I didn't realize that because we discussed that I do this and I was like, yeah, you know, I know this. And as I was watching it, I was like, oh, I haven't seen this in a while for good reason.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard watch every year. It's probably the Sesame Street equivalent of the Star Wars holiday special.
Is that yeah, accurate? That's exactly what I was thinking. No, lie. That's exactly what I thought in my head.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what is your history with the special? Do you recall seeing it for the first time?
Yes, I mean, obviously, Christmas Eve was probably the number one in my house. That was like the big one that we all loved. And the first time I heard of special Sesame Street Christmas was actually when I think it was like 2012. They did like a DVD release of it. And it is not only a terrible special, but the DVD cover is the most like horribly designed, like ratchet. Like you would think somebody on 125th and Malcolm X sold it. Like it is absolutely terrible. And I saw it in a Walmart in the like throwaway bin for like $5 and was like,
right,
what?
Yeah.
What is Michael Jackson doing next to Oscar the Grouch? I have to have this in my house.
We have to talk about this DVD real quick, because so first of all, I can now say that I was working at Sesame Workshop when that thing came out, and I was working in the department that handled home media. So
oh my God.
I found out about the DVD release, and I'm like, that's weird, because normally these things go through my department. So we didn't approve that. I'm like, I feel like it's bootleg. So what I did, of course, was I ordered myself one. And the second it arrived, that was when I was like, hey, guys, what is this thing? Because I wanted to make sure I got mine, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it turns out that even though the characters are owned by Sesame Workshop, the special itself is owned by
CBS.
Bob Banner's production company.
We'll talk about
Bob Banner in a minute. So they had permission. They had the rights to release it. Although maybe not, because can they just put Big Bird on the cover of a DVD without permission? That seems weird.
I mean, it might be a bad contract. I mean, whatever, what's his name? Is it Stewart? Whoever the vice president of CTW at the time, that deal he made with Bob Banner just sounds shady in general. And so
yeah.
I can imagine that like there was some horrible loophole that's in there, right, where it's like, yeah, we absolutely have the likeness of these characters for this one special.
Right. Yeah. Like in 1978, they were like, I don't know. There's like, yeah, sure. If you ever can put it on a disc and watch it at home, sure, you could have the rights to that. Whatever that sci-fi concept will be like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, but the other thing about this DVD is that, so we'll talk about Michael Jackson in a little bit, but Michael Jackson makes a very brief appearance, does not sing a song, he just has maybe three lines of dialogue, and on the DVD, there's a special feature, a bonus feature, where they remixed Michael Jackson's three lines of dialogue into like an auto-tuned song.
Yes, they did.
It's horrible. And it's just like floating heads
so wild
of Michael Jackson and Oscar the Grouch floating on the screen. It's insane. It's legitimately insane. So anyone out there who doesn't own this thing already, you got to go find this DVD. You have to watch this thing. It's
I just went silent because I was like, wow, I remember that like auto-tune thing and I blocked it out so hard because it's actually like one of the most disturbing things. But now that you mentioned that like the Bob Banner production company released it, it all actually is coming together quite swiftly for me in my head now, because even the DVD menu is like so just like ratchet. Like it's just so poorly produced. And I'm sure that company like hired some poor college kid to just like make a song out of this.
Yeah, right. Exactly. This is going in the dollar bin anyway. Like, this is not a big money maker. Yeah. We just need it to exist. And I'm so glad that it does exist, even though it's terrible. There are so many awful Muppet and Sesame productions out there that have never had a home video release, and people just don't know. So we have to tell them about it, or like we have to like write about them on Tough Pigs and just believe us that this exists.
Make them aware. Yeah.
Yeah.
I swear this happened.
Right.
I swear Ethel Merman sang Tomorrow as a Christmas song. I promise you.
Bonkers. Bonkers. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what a special Sesame Street Christmas is. So it's from 1978. It aired on December 8th, 1978. And that's the same year that Sesame made Christmas Eve on Sesame Street.
It's the best trivia about this thing. And my favorite, I'm sorry if you're going to bring this up, my favorite trivia is that they both got nominated for the Emmy that year, and Christmas Eve won.
Oh, what if it didn't, though? What if this won? What if that was the story?
It would have been, like, the greatest troll of all time if Special Sesame Street Christmas won over Christmas Eve. That would have truly been so good.
That would be
the gift to us all. I honestly can't believe
yes.
it got nominated.
Yeah.
It is so wild.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It tells you about what the state of children's TV was at the time, where it was just like, nope. I don't know, Sesame made a thing, give it a nomination.
Yeah.
They're the only game in town.
They
Who
made
else
two?
Is making stuff?
Whoa. Good for them. And also that there are just no, there's only Oscar and Big, that's just so good to me. I'm guessing that only Carol was like, okay, I'll do it. Everyone else was like, absolutely not.
Totally. The other weird thing about the fact that they made these two specials in the same year is that the executives at Children's Television Workshop were like, yeah, let's do two because that increases the chance that one of them might air.
Made.
Which is not just getting made, but like airing. Like Sesame, in its long history, at that point, almost a decade of history, had never produced anything that was never seen on screen.
Right.
So why would they think that it might not? So let's double the production and whatever. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever. Even today, that would never happen.
I also couldn't, because Joseph Bailey wrote about this whole scenario in his memoirs, and it is the most fascinating thing when he's like, me and John Stone heard they were doing this and was just like, okay. And I feel like that was what everyone at the workshop just did. Like, everyone kind of just went, I guess they're making two. No one put a stop to it.
And we're going to get into this, but like all the writing in this is so bad. And then you compare it to Christmas Eve, which is so thoughtful and heartwarming.
Just
and
the through line is just so, it's so insanely bad.
Yeah. Yeah. How bad is it? Let's get into this thing. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
So, all right, so the whole thing starts with the main cast are decorating the tree. It's right next to 123 Sesame Street. The main cast includes Bob, Maria, David, and Mr. Hooper. And that's it. So, like, everyone else who was just there, like, a few weeks ago for Christmas Eve on Sesame Street, you know, Olivia and Luis and Gordon. It's like, no, we're like, Linda. Yeah, no, they're not sticking around.
Nope.
They all went home.
Nowhere to be found.
Exactly. As you said, Big Bird and Oscar are both there. Later, we also see Barkley, so we know there's at least two puppeteers.
One of his first appearances, because he had just started appearing that year, I believe.
Oh yeah, that's a good observation. I didn't thought of that. So Barkley was
one of his earliest.
That was their trump card. That they were like, like, check out this new thing. Look at this dog.
We have a puppet dog, guys. Like, come on.
Oh, man. So they're singing Deck the Halls, and you could tell, by the way, Mr. Hooper does not know the words.
No. Oh, it's so good. I was thinking about that, too. There's a lot to be said about the actor's commitment to this special all throughout. But I was, like, in love with Will Lee's bewilderment throughout this entire special.
Yeah, I mean, he was a pro, not so much of a pro that he couldn't learn the words to the very famous Christmas Carol, Deck the Halls.
I believe they shot this in a day. I have to believe they shot this in one day. So
I'm sure you're right. The production value definitely has that feeling of like, go, go, go. You know, they're going to turn the lights
tomorrow
on us,
so we got to finish this up.
Yeah, exactly. Maria says that the best thing about decorating this tree is that they're going to plant it in the ground. But they're obviously doing it in the cement. Like, it's right there on the sidewalk. Like, again, like, they obviously wrote one draft
and
enough.
Just did not look at it.
Yeah, no notes. They just went forward with it. Big Bird comes in. He's dragging a sled on
sled?
The pavement. Yeah, like, with the gift for Leslie Uggams, who we'll see in a second. Let's talk about Leslie Uggams. Leslie Uggams is, like, the star of the special. And I believe it's just before she appears on The Muppet Show, or around the time that she's on The Muppet Show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, she's doing her best, you know?
I feel so bad for this woman. Also, I love the, like, consistency of the idea that she also lives on Sesame Street, but this is the only time we will ever see her on the street, which I'm sure we've, like, done with other celebrities, but like mm-hmm. within the context of the show, I'm like, yeah, for a scene, that's one thing. For an entire special to like watch Leslie have like deep connections with everybody there as if she's a neighbor and then never see her again is wild to me.
So wait, do you think that she bought a condo on Sesame Street and then had this weird experience? It was like, maybe I'll put it back up for sale.
I actually think she's the actual owner of the basement apartment on 123, and Bert and Ernie were away. That's what I have to believe.
They're just subletting from her.
Yeah,
they've been subletting from her since 1969. Yeah.
Well, it's a one bedroom. That's why they sleep in the same, you know,
in
the same place.
Man,
so
that
they're
makes so much
really
sense.
They're so broke. It's like really not great.
Wow. So they sing this awful song about all the terrible gifts that you could give to somebody.
The lead up is my favorite because I actually thought they were gonna go into True Blue. I was like, this is such a great setup, and it goes right into this really terrible song they wrote that I'm sure was one draft again about really bad gifts they got.
Yeah, and like none of them make any sense. Like she sings that she got a handmade parachute and a giant turkey, and Mr. Hooper says he got a glow-in-the-dark bow tie, and like what are you even talking about? David got a mustache comb. David, who, by the way, has the biggest mutton chops I've ever seen on a human being. And he's like, I got this mustache comb. It's like, just move it 3 inches to the right. Use it there.
Come on. Oh, it's so wonderfully bad. It was that thing where it was like, we're opening and it's like, it's going to be like this really like nice Christmas moment. And it's this wackadoo song that I think is supposed to be funny, but it's supposed to be in this moment of teaching Big Bird that like it's not about what kind of gift you get. It's about the fact that you gave a gift in the first place.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's not funny, but I will say, I think of all the songs, I'll have to remind myself as we're going through this again, I think this is the only one that actually has a lesson to it. That the whole idea of like, oh, it's a thought that counts. Like, don't stress about getting a bad gift. Like, it's actually just about, you know, human connection.
Right.
We'll see. I mean, Tomorrow from Annie doesn't, we're not counting that as a
I think Yakety Yak has lots of values.
In the next scene, the gang has just finished shoveling the sidewalk, but a snowplow had come through and like pushed all the snow back on the sidewalk. They're all really upset. But all you see is the light from the snowplow, like reflected on their faces.
I also love the camera shot is really what gets me, how it's like this very low kind of circular shot from the bottom and they're all looking off concerned. I'm like, is the police like taking away a body? Like this is like the most like drab and like sad thing I've ever seen. And it's such a like eerie shot that it looks like something terrible is happening.
Yeah. Absolutely agree. And you're right, it feels like it's the police. It's a yellow light, but because of how upset they are. And There's also a weird thing about the lighting in general. It always looks like it's nighttime on Sesame Street throughout this whole special. And I'm not really sure why. They're indoors, so that doesn't have to be a thing. But I will say, to your point, like, there are several shots in the special where they're trying to get creative with the camera, where, like, they're putting it up above, like a weird overhead shot, like at angles that we don't normally see on Sesame Street. And this is one of them, like that low shot just going past 1, 2, 3, as if there was a camera, I don't know, like on the wheel of the snowplow.
That's what, like, I'm guessing.
Below. Yeah.
If I had to guess, I mean, it sounds like truthfully, though, it probably feels like, you know, Christmas Eve got all the attention, mm-hmm. and this poor B team got just pennies, and they were just like, well, frick it, we're just going to try to make a special we like making, even if the angles don't make sense, and the songs don't make sense, and the script don't make sense.
I mean, I will say, so like we said, this thing was produced by Bob Banner, who mm-hmm. was known for doing variety shows. And if you look at the variety of the 70s, it's a really similar kind of, like, corny humor, like songs that don't really belong, you know, like celebrities show up out of nowhere. Like, it feels like one of those bad variety shows.
Right.
But, like we keep saying, but as if they only wrote one draft. And also, to that point, like, obvious that it was the Bob Banner people who wrote it and not the Sesame people.
And not the Sesame people. Yes, correct. It's just a really long, abstract street story.
Yeah.
And I can't. And it's, and like, the plot doesn't start till like 20 minutes in. It's
we haven't gotten to the plot yet. No, not even close. But there's also a moment here that I think is hysterical where everyone's really cold. And so they're like, oh, you know, it'd be really nice, like a cup of nice hot. And Oscar's like, here it is. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll trust this guy. And they drink what they think is hot cocoa.
They are so, like, disgusted. I'm like, oh, it's trash juice. Like, he like went to the bottom of the trash. It's just cold lemonade.
Yeah.
And they are so upset.
They're pissed at Oscar. How dare you, sir? Ice cold lemonade. And like, you could tell, like, it was probably something else before. Like, it's sardine juice. And somebody was like, you can't do that for whatever reason. And they're like, change it to lemonade. And they're like, we have no time to argue. Just keep moving. Yeah, the cameras are rolling.
It was the and what got me was that it didn't realize until like six lines in that I was like, they said ice cold lemonade. That reaction doesn't warrant that.
No. It's like, oh, I was expecting to be hot. Anyway, thanks for the lemonade, Oscar.
Someone said ew. I'm pretty sure someone literally went, ew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So in the next scene, Leslie is trying to convince Oscar to like Christmas because I guess it's important to her. They sing a song where they kind of go back and forth. According to the Muppet Wiki, the song has no title. At least if there's a title for it, we don't know what it is. It's like, I think they listed it as Oscar-Leslie duet. And they're going back and forth. Like, she's singing about things that are great about Christmas, and he's singing about things like landlords turning down the heat and winterized tires being sold at a high price.
So at this point, they're like, we have to kind of play up that Oscar and Scrooge are alike, so we just have to start throwing in values of Scrooge to give us lines.
That's a good observation. I don't think they thought that much into it. I thought they were just like, what would be funny? What do we hate about Christmas? I don't know. Tires are expensive. We're adults. We don't know what kids know, what kids like, you know? So this isn't working. Maria enters the scene with a kitten because, you know, it's in the script.
Yep. Yeah. Correct.
She found him in the alley with a hurt leg, so she patched him up. He's got a little cast on. Leslie and Maria try to think of a good name for the cat. And they kind of do like a 1, 2, 3, and they both say Tiny Tim. As if that was like an obvious answer in front of them. Did you know they were going to say Tiny Tim?
No. I did. When they said Tiny Tim, I went, I know where this is going now.
Right.
It was like, okay. Wow.
Yeah, a little on the nose.
Yeah.
And, so Oscar sings like a, they go back to Oscar to see if he'll help the cat. And he sings like a snippet of the 12 Days of Christmas, but he starts at six.
Six.
And he sings, on the sixth day of Christmas, my neighbors throw in here 6 turkey bones, 5 broken toys. There's no golden rings thing here. They just go through it. 6 turkey bones, 5 golden broken toys, 4 pounds of wrapping, 3 shattered ornaments, 2 eggnog cartons, and some stale popcorn on a long string. I don't really know why they felt the need to do this. It's like 10 seconds. And again, they start at 6, which I don't understand. Like, if you're just trying to save time, just don't do the song.
Just don't do the song. I feel like at this point is when they're like, we can't write any more songs. We don't have time. Just find songs that are cheap, copyright-wise, yep, or that are free, and just bring them in as we're shooting. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
I think you're right. At this point, Leslie's like, oh, I get it. We're doing a Christmas Carol thing. She's like, you know, he reminds me of.
We're in the round. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh.
They go back to Hooper's store, and Leslie is putting together a costume for what they'll use for the Ghost of Christmas Past. But for some reason, she feels the need to use Oscar's trash from the previous song. I'm sure there's logic to this. I just don't see it.
No.
No, no logic. I don't think so. Okay. Yeah, I believe you.
I think that was them being like, yeah, that's how they make it with all the trash in his thing. And then the costumes are like really elaborate and like kind of beautiful, but it also doesn't anyway.
I mean, we'll see in a minute. This costume, it's like someone made like a dress that looks like a big Christmas tree. And then we're told, oh, also you're using Oscar's trash. And they're like,
trash.
I don't know, man. We'll just pin some turkey bones to it. Is that good enough?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So, no one wants to wear this costume. But then who shows up? Muppet Show guest star Anne Murray. She's here. She also has a timeshare on Sesame Street.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oscar had given her this ugly Santa doll that has like a pull string. And first of all, I have to say, my wife's family has this Santa. Like, they have the exact same one. And I remember the first Christmas I spent with him, and I saw it on display, and I lost it.
You lost it.
I could not believe it. It was the same exact one. So ugly.
A pulley. Oh, my God. Whoa.
There's no pulley. The pulley is made just for the special. It's just the doll, but yeah.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Yeah. It's like it's following me.
This is the curse you wrought upon yourself.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you know, this one has a pull string and pulls it. It says in Oscar's voice, I'm the happy Christmas Santa you love to hug.
Hug. Okay.
What do you think it said?
It sounds like he's saying that you love to harm. Oh. Which I was like, weird, but
yeah.
I guess. I did not hear hug. Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
It helps that we hear it twice for some reason.
Yes.
And then the third time she pulls it, it just goes, Fooey and baloney and bah humbug. You got him, Oscar. You did it. Right in the kisser.
And Anne is like, let's go kill him. She has absolutely no remorse. She's like, whatever you're planning, I am in.
Yeah. You son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah.
Man. So, but first she has to sing a song because she's Anne Murray. And
after Big Bird absolutely like manipulates her into doing 100%,
it. 100%. He guilts her into like, oh, well, you were singing a song out in the street. Well, you're not going to sing a song for me. I guess you just hate me. And she's like, fine, Big Bird. Just ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also like the way that they get her to the counter. It's the most awkward, like the music starts. Her back is to the camera as they're like trying to place her.
And it's just Bob literally is like, Anne, I think you'd be better if you sit over here. Like he's helping her with her stage directions.
There was no rehearsal. It was just, you're going to go there. You're going to sing there. Bob, help her. Go.
Yeah. And she sings a song called You Needed Me, which I'm not familiar with, but it's a love song. It's just a straight up like, here's the hit off my new album. That I'm singing to a 6-year-old bird.
Just for the heck of it.
Why not? Merry Christmas to all of us. So Anne agrees that she's going to help scare Oscar by dressing up in this horrible costume. So first, every time a ghost appears, a ghost, I'm using quotes, the ghost, the other Sesame humans are all seen on screen going, ooh. It's just like a close-up on their faces. It's such a weird choice.
It's an amazing device. I don't know what it's supposed to represent, but I think it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And, like, again, like, the fact that we're rushing through this the Christmas Carol story here, we didn't have a Marley's scene. So Oscar has no idea what to expect of, like, oh, there's going to be ghosts. Like, he just immediately accepts, oh, yeah, you're not Anne Murray in ghost. A trash dress.
I didn't just see you.
He just saw her. He gave her the doll. He didn't recognize her.
Does not recognize her. Christmas tree insight. He's like, that's an entire ethereal being. That is not a human.
He just went for it. So anyway, she's like, look through this magic eggnog container. But she says it with her very thick Canadian accent. So she really goes, this magic eggnog container.
Oh my god, it's such a fever dream, man,
right?
It's so crazy.
So he looks through again, they just had to use the trash, so he looks through this thing, and then we get our next musical number, and it's like a whole, like, let's look into Oscar's past as a baby, and there's Leslie Uggams again, someone he just saw 5 minutes ago, who's pushing a stroller with a trash can in it, and it, like, it, I guess it's supposed to be Oscar, and they're like, oh, see, when you were a baby, you loved Christmas. And then that's kind of the whole thing. I don't know, like, all of his friends are there, Bob and Maria and David and Mr. Hooper.
And they're playing, I don't know, I feel like they're supposed to be different people who used to be on the street, because, like, David and Maria are, like, in, like, I don't know, like, film noir clothing, and...
Yeah, they're definitely the rich couple. She's in, like, a fur. He's in a suit. Yeah. Like, Bob walks on, like, dressed as a police officer, like an old-timey police officer. Yeah, and, like, of course Oscar doesn't fall for it, not because he recognized everybody, but because he's like, I'm a grouch. I've always been a grouch. Of course I've always hated Christmas. Like, that's not – I know what I looked like when I was a kid.
The thing that really kills me is that to represent that Oscar was a baby, they got a small trash can, as if as grouches get older, their trash cans also get bigger.
Oh, that, like, concept, a hermit crab.
Exactly. That blew my mind. I was like, wow. Honestly, this is, like, the one thing I'm like, I will take this. I think that is amazing.
I do kind of love that. I'm going to have to look for my copy of How to Be a Grouch and see, like, when Oscar's talking about himself when he's younger, or his younger relatives, if they also have smaller trash cans.
It's so good. And again, Leslie Uggams is like, I remember you when you were a baby. I've been living here all this time, even though I've never been featured on this show.
That's right. I guess maybe she, like, disappeared for 30 years and came back.
And, like, came
remember
back.
Remember me? I was your babysitter. And then I had to go be a Broadway star. And now I'm back. I'm back for Christmas.
I'm back for Christmas, and you're ruining it. And I came just for you.
Speaking of ruining Christmas, Oscar then says, well, let me sing you a song from my Christmas past. And he pulls out an electric guitar.
Electric guitar!
And
this
he sings.
Hands down, my favorite moment in the whole special.
I still remember seeing this for the first time and being like, what? Like, it just comes out of nowhere. And he sings Yakety Yak. He sings Yakety Yak of all the songs in the history of songwriting.
Oh, my God.
And he sings it poorly.
They all come horribly. And all the, like, humans come and they're so disappointed. They are so disappointed that Oscar is singing Yakety Yak. Just like, he's learned nothing.
Right. It's not like it's a song about, I don't know, Satanism or, like, I don't know, what's anti-Christmas? It's not like, I don't know, it's not like a,
yeah,
like
it's not,
a sexually charged
paganism
song.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh no, here's, like, a song that's currently on the oldies station. Yakety Yak. They're like, how dare you sing carols or you sing nothing?
Let's kill him.
Let's actually murder him.
Let's murder Oscar. I think that's where it's all leading to.
All right. So we have a commercial break, I guess. And when we come back, Oscar's reading a newspaper. This is another thing that I hate about this special. Oscar's reading this newspaper. There's no reason for this scene.
Is it 6 p.m. or 6 a.m.? That's never clear either.
It's not clear because he says in a second, he'll say, I'm going to go for my morning walk. There's no one around. I'm going for my morning walk. But then there was something, now of course I can't remember, where like it's supposed to be in the middle of the night. Like the sun's not out. It is not clear and nobody cared. Nobody cared at all. There's no continuity. There was no dramaturgy at all. So Oscar's reading this newspaper and he says, oh, the first grouch astronaut landed on the moon. His first message to the world after landing on the lunar surface? What a crummy place. Boy, you know, it has the cadence of a joke. But that is not a joke. It is not even Christmas related.
I don't know what it's supposed to be. Like, it was just a laugh. It's like crazy because there's no laugh track or applause track in Sesame, but you can hear the joke land horribly.
Yes.
You can hear the silence and how bad the joke is after that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was almost as if Carol was just messing around, didn't know the camera was running. Oh, I'll just read the lines. We'll fix it. We'll come up with something better later. Then he says, he reads the joke of the week for grouches out of the newspaper. Fergie, let me ask you this joke. What did one grouch say to the other grouch when he bumped into him on the street?
What?
Give up? Watch where you're going, yo-yo. Well, again, cadence of a joke.
Not at all
connected to anything that's happening in the special.
It's not even a punch. That's what pisses me off, is that I'm like, you got variety show writers writing this, and it's not a punchline. It's just human interaction.
Barely. It's, barely even that.
Barely.
They could have come up with literally anything. They could have just asked Carol, like, do you know any grouch jokes? We'll just throw something in there.
Yeah.
Like, come up with a bad pun. It doesn't matter. It could be a terrible joke. I'd be okay with that. But that's not a joke.
No, it's not. Oh, no. Now I'm sad for Carol, imagining, like, what shooting this must have been like.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. But they were miserable. They also probably just got off, again, they got off this other special where they're like, oh, God, like Big Bird was up on the roof and everyone came looking for him. Singing out Mr. Snuffleupagus. So they were talking to kids about how they get down the chimney. And like, and then it's like, how about Yakety Yak?
On electric guitar.
Jeez Louise. So while he's doing this, Leslie Uggams is in the apartment above Hooper's and she's looking down at him. And she sings a song called Look at That Face. Once again, a love song that has no relation to Christmas. I'm pretty sure that she's in love with Oscar. I think that she's like actually trying to.
Oh, maybe? that makes sense. Honestly, I'd take that because I also was like, why at 6 a.m. are you looking out your window at Oscar read the newspaper? It reminds me of I've grown accustomed to that face. I'm like, there's nothing about this that is remotely connected.
No, none whatsoever. The only other thing I have to say about this, and I feel bad mentioning it, but I can't not see it. The studio must have been really cold that day. And, you know, Leslie's wearing this sweater that looks really great on her, but like in this one scene where she's just kind of sticking her, you know, her head out the window, it's like, oh, Leslie, this is a kid's show. Just
please. They couldn't have put something over her.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just a cardigan would have been fine. It's winter. You can pull it off. It's okay. We're all adults here. We know
we're
what's going on.
We're all adults here. Yep. It's all good. We know.
That's right. Yep. She just really loves Oscar. That's all.
And she wanted us to know.
She did, yes.
That was her dramaturgical work.
We are aware. And this is also one of those things where, like, when I originally saw the special, I didn't see it for the first time on DVD. I'd seen it sooner, where, like, the quality wasn't so good. So there's a lot of stuff that, like, you know, was just a little bit blurrier, a little bit more like, you're watching it on like a third generation VHS tape.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, these are things that I notice when everything's in HD.
When everything's bad.
Yeah.
When vision is restored.
Right. The next ghost appears. It's the ghost of Christmas Present, and it's Imogene Coca. Who is Imogene Coca?
Also, guest star of Muppet Show. And
Imogene Coca was not on the Muppet Show.
No?
No. Who are you thinking of? You thinking of James Coco?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Am I thinking of James Coco?
I don't know. But don't worry, I can edit this out.
Imogene Coca? No, you can happily put this in because this is crazy. Wait, who am I thinking of? Was there an Imogene?
Ruth Buzzy? Ruth Buzzy is kind of an Imogene Coca type.
If I'm confusing Imogene Coca for Ruth Buzzy, that's absolutely incredible. Wait, who am I confusing?
I don't know what you're Googling because I'm Googling Imogene Coca and Muppet Show.
I can't because it's not going to come up. Was there anyone else named Imogene on the Muppet Show? I guess it's James Coca. James Coco.
It must be James Coco. Yeah. That's so funny.
I absolutely thought, yeah, they are. There we go. No, you can keep this for sure. That's amazing. Wow. So James Coco, who also plays the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Right, yes. James Coco is dressed as Imogene Coca, who is dressed as the Ghost of Christmas Present. She looks like a bag lady. She looks like she's dressed like the homeless lady in Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2.
The pigeon lady. Yeah.
That's exactly what she looks like. Yeah.
And she's got all these ticking clocks and she's holding them in like paper bags as if they had no budget for props on this show.
This is also where we lose the plot of the ghost concept because the first ghost is like constructed by the humans, but now we're getting real ghosts.
Do you think these are real ghosts? Do you think Imogene Coca is actually a ghost?
I think she's like a real ghost now. And we stop with the whole, oh, they're not, they're just like, it's a part of a prank.
Yeah,
now right. Oscar's experiencing real ghosts.
Sure, we'll go with that. I'm fine with that. And this is the moment where they say it's nighttime because she's like, look, we're going to show you Christmas. And Oscar's like, it's the middle of the night, lady. And she's like, nope, everyone's out and about. And they're all like running around. They're singing the song about like what's great about Christmas. And they have all the extras who like are kind of coming up and like reading one line about like my favorite thing about Christmas is finding an extra thing at the toe of the stocking.
Uh-huh.
They're also kind of like half jokes. Like one guy says, your neighbor trying out his snowblower while you're trying out your new stereo. Wah, wah. Or getting a phone call from someone you love and not even caring it comes just as you're sitting down to dinner. Bah, bah. All this stuff is like, Christmas is awful.
Was this funny in the 70s? Like, is that comedy?
There was one line that I genuinely laughed at. The last one where a kid says, Christmas is licking the frosting off a Christmas cookie and putting it back without anyone noticing. And his dad, who's holding him, is like, what? you did what? How long have you been doing this, Junior?
Just disgusted. Just like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, you've done what?
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't notice that. I've completely missed
that. Oh, you got to go back. It's maybe the funniest thing that happens in this
special. That's so funny.
But the other weird thing about this is Henry Fonda shows up as one of these talking heads. The Henry Fonda. And he's like, I don't know what he says. He's like rambling on about fitting part B into part C using a 3/4 inch wing nut.
Three quarter inch
wing nut. Henry, what? How, did you just wander onto set?
He had to have been shooting something. And they're like, hey, come do this real quick.
Yeah.
It had to have been. It is the randomest cameo.
Yeah, yeah. We have some random cameos in this thing.
Oh,
this is
God.
The first of the most random of random cameos. And then, Fergie, you as a theater actor will appreciate this. Did you notice As the humans are all singing the song, they're holding like a sheet music, Christmas Carol sheet music. Did you notice that they all had their scripts inside the sheet music?
No.
I never noticed it until today.
How did you see it? Wait.
So I noticed that they kept looking down, like they're really reading the lyrics. And I'm like, that's interesting. Usually, even if it's just a prop, they would memorize the song. And then I noticed that the color of the paper was different inside the thing. And it's like, oh, that's their script. They're reading from the script for the special.
God. I actually think you have to do another one-off podcast where you find out from somebody what shooting this was like.
Oh my God, I would love that. I'm gonna say this because I want to put this out in the universe. There's that podcast, How Did This Get Made?
Yes,
with Paul Scheer and Jason Mendoza and all that.
Love it.
And I would love to have them tackle this special.
Oh.
I would love to be on this podcast to talk about it with them. But really, they should be talking to people who worked on this thing to be like, what? How did this
happen?
Where did this come from? Yeah.
I would absolutely love that.
So Imogene Coca did not appear on The Muppet Show. But you know who did? Ethel Merman. And boy, talk about people wandering onto set. It really does feel like she was not asked to be on the special. She's like, I'll just show up. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're doing a musical? Here comes Ethel, you know?
Yeah, her walking, she like walks on and everyone is so utterly depressed with Oscar. What did Oscar do this time? That's my favorite part.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, do they say that? What did Oscar do this time?
Because she gets to Leslie and she's like, what's going on? And Leslie's like, I think Oscar's finally done it in. I'm like, what did he do? He just went on a walk. Like, he didn't say or do anything at this
point. This one didn't really end with him being like, well, this is obviously fake, or like, Christmas is garbage. He's like, no, thanks, I'm good.
Yeah. But that set everyone over the edge.
Totally. But the best thing is that she's trying to be like, Bob, what's going on? Maria, what's going on? She goes, Imogene, you look like an idiot.
You look like an idiot. I actually had to pause it. I had to pause it because I could not. I was laughing so hard. I was like, that is an absolutely bonkers thing to say on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And like, I get it. Like, things like that were considered fine to say on children's television at the time. But that is an absolutely bonkers thing to just come on screen and say, Imogene, you look like an idiot.
Yeah. But here's the thing. She's not wrong.
No, she looks absolutely out of her mind. I love that it was truthful.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Amazing. And as we previously said, Ethel Merman sings that perennial Christmas classic Tomorrow from Annie, just to cheer everybody up. It's so awkward. It's so awkward.
And this
Nobody
is what I meant
seems
earlier.
Like be there.
When she gets to Maria and Bob and like hugs them to sing it, you can see on Maria's face, like Sonia wants to kill Joan or whoever is in charge of the.
She's going straight to the
special.
Top. Wow.
She's going right to Cooney. She's like, I cannot believe what you've subjected me to. She is so upset during this song.
I was trying to figure out like what's going through their minds, because it really looks like they're like, I don't really know what to do while she's just singing at us. But
right.
You could tell every time they make eye contact with Ethel Merman, the Sesame actors all look away. Like this is too awkward. I can't.
This is strange. Yeah. And it's also because Ethel is so committed. She's belting at the top of her throat. She is really like giving this performance like it's due. She is not shying away from how awkward it is. And everyone else is like, what is happening? Also, we're singing about Christmas, but you're telling us that the 26th will be better. I don't understand.
Oh,
she's like,
man.
I understand Christmas sucks, but guess what? Christmas is going to be over tomorrow. So
get ready for Boxing Day. Ethel Merman loves Boxing Day. Wow. I never thought about that. Oh, I love that. That's incredible.
Absolutely.
So
wild.
just as we're coming down from this high of I can't believe Ethel Merman just wandered onto set and decided that she was in the special. Who wanders onto set? It's Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. And not it's, like it's the weirdest. It's 78. So I guess. No, he hasn't done Off the Wall yet. This is like peak.
No, this is pretty Off the Wall. You could.
This
you
is
could
like the
I mean,
Wiz.
I hate to say, you could tell from his nose.
Yes, you know? I was like, just going like to say that.
Is, yeah, this is post Jackson 5 or like the tail end of Jackson, or Jackson I guess 5. The Jacksons at that point, yeah. Right?
I actually think he just finished filming The Wiz when he did this special. You know why I'm pretty sure it is? Because they shot all of it in New York, and I'm pretty sure he shot that like right after that. Into this.
So when what you're saying is when he's saying you can't win, they were like, oh, you don't even know the half of it.
You were
Michael.
Like, buddy, let me tell you something.
So
yeah.
I'm looking up his discography right now because I am very curious. This is 78. So his Off the Wall was a year later. It was 79. This is 79. Like right before he blows up as a solo artist. And it's weird because, like, they don't give him a song. Like, it does seem obvious that he's, like you said, they might have been filming at, I don't know if they were at Kaufman Astoria. Probably not.
By this
actually.
Point, no.
But no, that's where they shot still The been Wiz. In Manhattan. Yeah. Or maybe they were. I don't know when they moved there. But, like, yeah, either way, it's like he's just down the street. Michael, you got 10 minutes. Okay, here's your two lines. He wanders onto set. Reading a book called Everything You Ever Want to Know About Ghosts But Were Afraid to Ask, which is also a weird joke, like an adulty joke.
And I also love that it's like him like giggling to himself where he's like, then they say something, something. And that's where Oscar goes, hey, what do you got there? It's the most like stupid sitcom-y way to like introduce an item that's needed for the plot.
It's true. And he just gives the book to Oscar and he walks off stage. And I'm a little surprised that Michael never came back to Sesame Street. Like with the top of his career, even like later on when he's like in his, you know, weird black and white era where he kind of felt like, oh, I'm Michael Jackson and I can have anything I want.
Yeah,
because he's just the biggest star in the world and he's got so much money and fame. And, you know, he could have been like, hey, Sesame, I would like to do a thing with
a special
Cookie Monster. And yeah. They'd be like, yes, of course, Michael Jackson, come back. You know, obviously, in retrospect, I'm glad that he didn't. Because, yeah, we know more about Michael than we did at that point. But yeah, interesting that this is kind of it for him on screen with anyone Muppet related.
I almost feel like this was like, he's here, let him just do a little thing, and then, you know, later on he can come back and do a real thing. And it was, like, right before Off the Wall, so it was right before he, like, truly blew up and they, like, lost him forever.
Yeah. So, yeah.
They just truly did not take advantage of it. Yeah. it is crazy. I mean, the one thing I was honestly saying, because I've always felt this, and I felt this when I watched The Wiz, Michael is not a terrible actor. Like, he's pretty okay in terms of, like, a pop singer. He's passable. Yeah. Like, a pop singer who, like, has never taken any bit of what an acting class would be can, like, do a scene with this Muppet, and it's not insanely cringeworthy.
Right.
You know? And that's the only thought I had about that scene.
I mean, the scene goes by so fast. I wish I had more to say just because he's such a star, but...
It's such a seismic moment that is so wasted. It's wild.
And again, like you could tell why the people who made the DVD were like, we have to capitalize on this, but like there's so little to work with. What do you do?
Like,
because if he had sung a real song, they would be like, that's it. That's the single. We'll put it out on YouTube, boom. Whatever we got to do. But they're like, I guess we have to make one. We have to make up a whole song.
They were the first dubstep. They did the first dubstep ever.
That's it. Yeah, a lot of firsts in this special. All right, we got one more ghost here. It's the Ghost of Christmas Future. It's Dick Smothers. Apparently they can only afford one Smothers brother, which is, I think, is hysterical. Like, it would have been cool to see this Mother's Brothers come on as, like, the Marleys or something.
That would have been so fun.
A Muppet Christmas Carol thing. But, like,
I'm guessing or even together only as Christmas was available. Future. No, but that would have made so much sense. But it had to be that, like, Dick was like, I'm in town. I'll do it. But it's just me.
And yeah, it's the one who's not funny.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, not that Dick's Mother's isn't funny. I think he's hysterical. But, like, he's the straight man. So, and he's wearing, like, a gray parka that they're trying to pass off as a spacesuit. And, like, he's got a helmet and he's got a cart full of musical instruments for some reason. Again, what is he? What is this? Who made? I don't understand any of this. And he's trying to convince Oscar that he's from the future. So he says, when was the last time you saw an outfit like this? And Oscar says, the last time I flew over Cleveland. And he says, precisely. It's not a joke.
It's not a joke.
It's not a joke.
Or if he just said, the last time I flew over Cleveland. Next.
I guess.
It's not funny, but that is more of a joke than the last time I flew over Cleveland. Precisely.
Yeah. Well, it definitely seems like whoever wrote this comes from the school of comedy of like, hey, you know what's funny? The word Cleveland. That's your joke.
That's your joke. Yep.
Yeah.
Cleveland is funny. It's just funny. That's comedy. So put it in. It was a bunch of men with cigarettes around a table just saying things. That's it. Just saying words.
Yeah. And as I have to say, as a Clevelander, very disappointed. Very lazy joke.
Yeah, this is such,
come on.
There's so many jokes to be made about Cleveland. You could
that's the best you could do. Go Google Balloon Fest 1984 and you'll see how funny Cleveland could be. Do you want to know about Balloon Fest? This is the wrong
what
podcast.
What is Balloon Fest?
All right, I can't get into this right now because we're talking about this very important special. But just imagine the city of Cleveland saying, we're going to get Cleveland back on the map by releasing millions of balloons into the sky at once. And then everything that can go wrong goes wrong. A real thing. Balloon Fest.
I'm going to look that up as soon as we get off. Oh, my God.
I can't wait for you to learn about Balloon Fest. Okay. Anyway, forget Balloon Fest. Get back to Christmas. He tells Oscar, we don't get a song this time, right? Like, this is like, nope. He's just telling him about the future. We're running out of time on the special.
Yeah. They're like, guys, come on. They're literally closing up the building.
Yeah. He says that in the future, all of his friends move away. That's the future. So I guess like that's to Oscar just as bad as Scrooge dying alone in the book.
Which is like, the only leave. That and like the clear amount of non-consideration of like, wait, that's actually exactly what Oscar would want. But we're gonna circumvent this and make it like, oh, that's his worst nightmare. Forget character consistency. Forget everything about what a grouch is. That makes sense because it's akin to the book.
Not just consistency to the character in the show, but literally in this special, there are points in which he's like, oh, I love walking around when nobody's here. You see him walking around. Like, he loves being alone. Loves it. Garbage. So this is, I think, the only point in the special in which anyone even bothers to ask the question of, like, what are you even trying to do here?
What are we doing?
What is your goal? Like, is it just like Christmas? Is that it?
Is that it?
And so, then there's this weird thing where the ghost of Christmas future is like, oh, well, we want you to believe in your friends because they all believe in you. And it's all this belief stuff. And, like, this is nothing. It's literally nothing. Like, it's a song cue, of course. But, like there's no – what does belief in people get you? Why do they need Oscar to be like, oh, okay, I believe in you, Maria. Okay, thanks.
And now what?
Also,
like, plot-wise, it's like, wait, I thought the whole point is we were trying to cheer Oscar up. But now it's emotionally incumbent upon Oscar to help everyone else out.
You're right. It started as cheer Oscar up. It segued into keep the holiday, I guess. Like, that whole keep Christmas with you thing. And now it's just... I don't know, don't be a dick to your friends, I guess.
Not only don't be a dick to your friends, make them feel better. Come on.
Yeah.
Stop.
Make it so that they don't want to actively murder you. That's the moral.
They want to kill you right now.
They want to kill you, Oscar.
You got to figure this out.
Yeah. So this is the song cue into the song Just One Person. We've heard the Muppets do this 100 times. This is easily, hands down, the worst time they've ever
worst.
Done.
Oh, my God. It's the most disappointing and angering and just, like, upsetting. Again, for like, moved it out of my memory because as soon as it started getting sung, I literally went, what?
Yeah. Yeah. There's two things about this that I find legitimately hysterical. One is, so Leslie Uggams comes on and she starts singing the song. And then when she gets to two. And Bob joins, it's like Bob's entire face, like in profile.
This was exactly going to be my point.
It's so weird. It's such a choice. It's such a stylistic choice. Bob's entire face in profile, like close up on the screen. And then same thing when they get to three with David's whole face in profile on side of the screen. It's so awkward.
It's like that thing they used to do for music videos when they would shoot two cameras and have one face and one profile. And in order to do a transition, you'd have a moment where both of them are happening at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So that
one
can fade out. But the worst part of this one is that when Bob enters the screen to go, maybe two, typically in the song, they go, maybe two, and if two whole people. But in this one, they just go, maybe two, and just keep their faces there. It's the most uncomfortable thing ever.
Oh, it's terrible. But genuinely what I think is the most uncomfortable, and thank God nobody pointed it out to Oscar, is so then they get to, if three old people, why not four? And then Maria comes in. And if four whole people, why not more and more and more? And the camera pans out, and there's no one else there.
No one there.
There is no more. I'm sorry. It was just the four of us who showed up. It's like the saddest intervention, right?
Everyone else was like, we've tried. We gave up a long time ago.
And here's the thing, though. Did you notice, or at what point did you notice, Mr. Hooper is gone?
Gone. This was going to be my point. Go? He said, I'm shooting at 2 p.m. I'm walking out the door. And whatever you don't get, you don't get.
I think the last time we see him is he's in the musical number for The Ghost of Christmas Past. I think that might be the last time. And then, like, just casually, like, he just kind of, like, you know, ducked out into the shadows.
But
like,
to be honest,
not gonna miss this old man.
Even after the opening number, we don't see him again until that musical number, because he's not in any of the other group scenes.
He's in one other scene. They must have done all the group scenes at once when he was there, because he's at the end. We'll see in a second.
Oh, yes.
He's with the big group. But yeah, like for the story, for the street stuff, like he is just
gone.
He just has somewhere else to be. And you know what? Good for him.
That's
he
great.
Got out.
Proud of him.
At the end of the song, Oscar's like, all right, let me see that cat. Oscar's nice now. He's like, give me that cat. And this poor cat is screaming its head off.
It's so upset.
Hand it to Oscar. And you have to remember, like, Carol Spinney's inside the trash can. And so his arm is straight up. They hand the cat to him. He can't see what's happening. He can't see, like, is the cat, like, on, like, in the can? The cat, like, or is it, like, on the edge? The cat is essentially hovering 4 feet off the ground, being held by this furry gray hand. That cat must be losing its mind.
Terrified. Oh, and in the first scene it's introduced, I don't know if you noticed, it, like, looks over at Oscar and then immediately, like, coils away and screams. So it has already seen Oscar and hates it. Hates him. Hates the sight of him. I can't imagine being touched by him. Miserable.
And, like, I guarantee, like, that puppet probably smelled weird.
Oh, my God. That poor kitten. And also, like, when you watch any Muppet have to handle, like, puppies or kittens, because they're so wily, you kind of have to grip them tight.
Yeah.
So that they don't slip. So it's also probably like pressured, like being squeezed. It's like so upsetting.
Or at the very least, if there was an option for a second puppeteer to help with a second hand, it's like, oh, you got one on the side, one on top, or whatever. Like you just kind of can, you can cradle it. But it's just Oscar's hand sticking one straight hand up.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Whoa.
So anyway, that's essentially the end of the story, but it's not the end of the special because now we go into a Christmas Carol medley. And it's all of our extras are all sitting around the arbor. Ethel Merman is still there.
Singing loud and off key in the first song they sing. I can't remember which what's
Christmas song. It's Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells. She sounds terrible.
Do you think in that moment she was like, I'm not off key. All you rubes are
all
off
of
key.
You. Yes, yes. I absolutely think. Oh, she's the loudest one there.
She's like, I have to go loud to drown all you people out because you're making me look bad. And like, I have to say this again. She looks so weird. Like, she's got her fur coat on. She's got too much makeup. She looks like Cesar Romero as the Joker.
Well, at this point, it's what, 78? Yeah, she's like... Dude, she's in the age of her life where she's like cantankerous. Like people hate working with her. She's just like absolute grouch, like diva status all the way. I'm sure she was miserable on that set. I'm sure none of them got paid really. And that this was just like the weirdest and most terrible day on set.
Yeah. Yeah, ridiculous. And like just again, like fever dream for these people who are sitting next to Ethel Merman as she's screaming Jingle Bells in their face. And then there's a point they're singing Walking in a Winter Wonderland and Oscar pops up on her shoulder and they're kind of like looking at each other while they're singing. And like, that's, I think, the craziest part of the special where they're just like, we're going for it. We're just going to scream the song in each other's faces. Winter Wonderland!
Yeah, I think at a certain point, Oscar was just like, it's better if I enter psychosis than if I actually have to like deal with what I really want out of these people.
So also in the scene is Big Bird, Oscar, and Barkley all seen on camera at the same time. Right. In the credits, Carol is obviously credited for Big Bird and Oscar. Toby Towson is credited as Barkley the dog. Misspelled Barkley, by the way, B-A-R-K-L-Y. Yeah. But there's no third puppeteer credited, so I have no clue who that person would have been. And I'm really curious who was like, well, I don't know, you guy in the background, Oscar puppet and figure it out.
I have to go back and see. He's probably being puppeteered terribly.
I bet.
Poor
crew
member.
He is very much in the background, behind a bunch of people. A part of me wants to kind of just like look at all the extras and see like, okay, there's the mustache guy. There's the older lady. Like who's not there. And that's probably
who's
the
not
one
there and got thrown in. I was like, hey,
right,
come on.
Yeah. Yes. And then the last thing that we see is the tree, which has been moved a little bit to the left further into the arbor and everyone's standing in front of it. Stone faced. Like, now's the serious part of the special.
Yeah.
And they're singing a verse from I Saw Three Ships that I have never heard in my entire
life.
Never heard. And they're singing the lyrics, but I can't look at anything except for Mr. Hooper, who is mouthing words to a song that's only playing in his head. He does not know the words, and that's okay. Like I said, I didn't know the words. Like, Mr. Hooper... Will Lee, Jewish.
But they couldn't be like, hey.
I grew up Jewish. Like, I didn't know any of these Christmas carols when I was a kid. But, like, yeah, they didn't give him a chance to learn it. He was just like, forget it. I'll just go, ba, 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 ba.
I don't think he'd care. I'm sure somebody was like, hey, here are the lyrics. And he went, no.
Yeah.
I'm not learning lyrics for this.
That's right. Yeah, my car is outside waiting for me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm late for Christmas dinner, okay?
That's right.
Please.
Hanukkah dinner, yes.
Hanukkah
dinner.
Yeah, there we go. Right, yes. I have to go, please.
Yes, I got latkes waiting for me at home. And that's it. That's the end of the special. So, Fergie, I have to ask. We talked about this before recording, but now that we've watched it again and discuss it ad nauseum. Is this special just bad or so bad it's good?
It's so bad it's good. It's, I mean, it's akin to the Star Wars holiday special. Like, it's truly just like, I see it in the same way where whenever I introduce the Star Wars holiday special to people, where like nobody ever tells me, please turn this off. People are like, I have to see this through. And that's how I feel about this special. And I'm like, yeah. Well, I have to know where this ends up. Like, where does this go? Especially yeah. The more people come on and the more random. After Yakety Yak was truly this time around was when I was like, I can't imagine someone seeing that and being like, okay, I'm done.
Right.
Like, there's no way.
I could definitely see people like I bring this up. Not I don't actually watch it every Christmas, but I bring it up every Christmas as an option for us to watch. And I, no matter who I'm with, whether it's my wife or when I used to be roommates with Ryan Rowe, like when we lived together, and like almost always shot down. Like I just don't know if I can do it this year. but I think a part of me is like, I would like this to be a part of my annual viewing. Like, I do love watching it because it's just such a train wreck. It's like such an impressive, like, open manhole cover with like a burst of flames coming out of it.
And it's only that bad. It's good because it came out the same year as Christmas Eve on Sesame Street. Like, if this was just a random special they did one year, I would just be like, that is so sad. You all did such a poor job on this. But the fact that they had just finished filming that and then filmed this is doubly funny to me.
I couldn't agree more. There's a charm to this era of Sesame Street. Like, something that they even maybe lost a little bit of by the time they got into like the mid to late 80s. But like this like 1978 Sesame Street, where it's still like kind of gritty, but like they've definitely gotten into their groove of like what Sesame Street is. Yeah. Like, even the worst stuff is like, oh, this is so charming. It's so good, you know? Yeah. But this one special is such an outlier for that. And to watch it back, I've never watched it back to back with Christmas Eve on Sesame Street, which I should do. Like, literally just start one and then the other. I don't know what order to watch them in, but like, I'm kind of fascinated to do that someday. The oddity of it and the comparison of like, how good can Sesame Street be? How bad can it be? And we wouldn't do this. You know, there are other holiday specials that Sesame Street has made that I think are not very good, but I have no interest in watching it for the train wreck factor. You know, there's a Sesame Street Christmas Carol, which I don't really remember, like Elmo's Christmas Countdown, Elmo Saves Christmas, which has its charms. You know, it's just like, I don't watch any of that stuff. I never even think about it. But this one,
its own special thing. What I also love about it, and I didn't realize it till you brought it up, was that like in Christmas Eve, the array of human characters that are on there versus this almost made me forget they were at the same time, because in this special it almost feels like it's within the first like 3-4 seasons of Sesame.
Yeah.
Just from like how poorly it's shot and how like dark the lighting is, and it's only like 4 humans and it's only Big Bird and Oscar. It feels so rustic. That's when
1970.
I think about,
that's 1970 Sesame.
That's crazy. And then thinking about Christmas Eve, I'm like, that is such a clear, we're moving into the 80s special. Like, just from the tone of it and the writing and all the characters in it. But they are so vastly different tonally. It's amazing.
As a creative person in the arts, is there anything that you would have done differently to make this better? Or is it perfect as it is?
No. I would not touch this. This. I wouldn't do a single thing different. I think for what this special is to be, I would have maybe added 2 more lines to Michael Jackson scenes so that the auto-tune version could have been a little bit better. But outside of that, this special is perfect.
I'm so glad you think so. I hope that having to rewatch this thing and then talk about it for so long was not quite the nightmare that it would have been for other people.
I wouldn't do this for literally anyone else. I would only do this for you and Tough Picks.
Oh, thank you so much. That is the highest honor that I could possibly receive. And Fergie, thank you so much for being here. It was such a joy to get to talk to you about this horrible little thing.
This is my ideal evening, so thank you.
I'm so glad. Where, if anywhere, can people find you on the internet should you want to be found?
You can find me on the Instagrams, I guess Twitter, X, I don't know what that place is. I'm sure I'll leave soon. And on TikTok, all at Fergsters95. That is at Fergsters95.
Great. Thank you again for being here. And everyone listening, thank you for being here. This has been the Worst of the Muppets Holiday Edition. We're going to be doing more of these throughout December. And if you like what you've heard, please check Tough Pigs out on toughpigs.com, on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky. I can't even remember all the social media networks. We're on Tough Pigs. We're at Tough Pigs on everything. We also have a Patreon and a TeePublic if you would like to donate money or buy cool things from us. And we will see you again next week right here on this podcast channel. Goodbye.